We're going to be reading from Mark 5:25 through 34. So now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt her body that it was healed from her disease. Immediately aware the power had gone from him, Jesus turned around the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The word of God for the people of God.
All right. How you doing? All right. It's good. It's good to, hey, what's up? It's good to be here with you. Yeah. So, welcome to the first of four messages that we are calling. It's a series that we're calling Move. And if you look on your cards that were given to you, and we'll get back to those later, you'll notice it just says Move, and then it has from blank to blank. Because every week we're going to be talking about moving from something to something else. All right? Usually from something that's not good to something that is good. So, or maybe something that's outside of what God has for your life to something that God does have for your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. So today we're going to discuss and we're going to trust God. I'm believing God to do something here today of significance. We're going to trust God to move us from a place of hurting to a place of healed. I kept wanting to say from hurting to healing. And Sarah said, "No, it's from hurting to healed, because healed speaks that it's something that's been done already for you, right? So we're going to come from a place of hurting to healed." And we might be hurting today, mentally, physically, spiritually, or financially, but Jesus is able to heal no matter what the pain or hurt might be. Jesus is able to heal. And we're going to talk about that and as we go on here today. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And all of us with unveiled faces." Now, this is kind of a reference back to Moses. When Moses saw God up on the mountain, he came down and the glory of the Lord was so bright upon his face that he wore a veil so people wouldn't see it and wouldn't see the glory as it kind of faded too away. But we with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So this is a powerful verse. This is a verse that says for people that have fixed their gaze upon Jesus, even though we don't see him face to face, we see God as though in a mirror, which, by the way, when Paul was writing this, mirrors were not like the mirrors we have today. They were usually like some kind of metal. And so you couldn't see yourself as clearly, but you could still see your image, right? You could see yourself. So we, as in looking in a mirror, we're seeing the glory of God, not in the fullness, right? But that is enough to transform us then from one degree of glory to another. This idea of transformation. I mean, I believe that Jesus is in the business of healing people. I mean, this is one of the things about as we seek to follow after Christ, we are trusting God. Many of us come to God even because we're hurting. We were hurting. We were looking for something, and we came to the church or met a friend or something happened, and we encounter God. But I think sometimes as Christians, we just kind of forget about that, and we get all caught up and living our lives and doing whatever we're doing, and we're not gazing consistently upon the Lord. Which, by the way, worship, which we just did here, this is one of the things that I've said this before. We don't come here for little sing-alongs. We're not here to just, you know, like we're around a campfire singing Kumbaya. This is worship is moments and time, and whether you can sing or not sing or doesn't make any difference. Worship is designed to be looking and to be gazing upon the Lord, to be contemplating who God is and considering what God is doing in our lives. Worship is powerful. It's in that place, I know for me, many times it's in the place of worship, not just singing songs. I mean, we can all sing songs, right? But, you know, but when I'm in this place of worship, I experience the work of God in my own life. So let me ask you today, is it, who of you would say, you don't have to put your hands up, but who would say, I need the Lord to heal me? I've got things in my life that I need. I've got hurts. I've got habits. I've got things going on in my life. I need God to do something in me. Well, Jesus, as we've sung already, is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Hallelujah. My God, that is who you are. So I have great news for you today. Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals, is present with us today. God is present with us here today. He is our healer. Today it is my prayer that God will help us move from a place of hurting to healed. Amen? So let's just get into the bulk of things here. First of all, I want to just talk about that Jesus specializes in healing. Jesus specializes in healing. You just look at the scriptures throughout the Gospels and even throughout the Bible. There are many stories of the Lord healing the sick and the broken. They're right there, especially in the Gospels. And if Jesus Christ is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we should be trusting God to heal us today. Again, of our hurts, or our habits, our hang-ups, or whatever it is that's going on in our lives. He heals the sick and the broken. So let me just list a few of them, and I'm just going to run right. I'm not going to camp on any of these ones right now. I will on something later. But Jesus healed the paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And just by the way, I'm going to go through them quickly, but Jesus healed a paralyzed man. Okay, so we can just say that, but that's actually pretty amazing. I mean, like, you know, we just go, oh yeah, Jesus healed a poor. We read that in the God. What? Come on, man. That's radical stuff. He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, which I'll talk about later in John chapter 5. The blind man received his sight in John chapter 9. A father asked Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus did so in John chapter 4. The man who had a shriveled hand, his hand was healed in Luke chapter 6. And then the Gadarene demoniac, who was healed and in his right mind. And I have gone to this verse over and over again because I grieve. My heart is broken over the degree of mental illness that is in our community, in our lives, in our city. And it just, it breaks my heart. And I cry out to God, God, you did it for that demoniac back in the day. It said that, because they probably thought he was mentally ill. They might not, I don't think they used that term then. But then it says that he was healed and in his right mind. Oh, dear God, I pray for more power to be expressed to your people, that we would see you working to heal those, even those who are mentally ill, God, which it seems like one of those overwhelming things, at least to me. We saw Jesus do really more than a healing when he raised up Lazarus from the dead. So he went from dead to healed, right? So that's pretty radical, too. Now, one of the ways God is revealed to us is through his names. So, you know, when we see the Lord, and you know, we see it in our English versions, it usually says, you know, I am the Lord who heals you, or I am the Lord who provides, or I am the Lord who I am your shepherd, those kinds of things. But they're names of God. And those names are powerful and important. So, and we've done that before, but just real quickly, again, like Jehovah Jireh, it means the Lord is my provider. Or Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is my shepherd. And these are just two of many things. And the point I want to make here is that when God gives us his name like that, it's not telling us just something that God does. It's actually speaking to the very nature of God. It's who God is. Do you get the difference? You know, I can do a lot of stuff because maybe I know it's the right thing to do. But maybe my heart sometimes isn't really in it. You know what I'm saying? But God, that's not the way it is with God. God's very nature is to heal. It's in God's very nature to be our shepherd. It's in the nature of God to provide. And what we need to do, going back to that passage in 2 Corinthians, is we need to gaze upon the Lord. We need to touch God in some way, because as we touch God, and we'll talk about a woman who did that was read here just a few moments ago, just touching God, she was healed. Why? Because it's in God's nature. But the problem oftentimes is, even for us as Christians, is that we're unwilling to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. We actually, and I'll come back to this too, we stay where we are instead of doing the work that's necessary to touch the heart of God and to experience the healing power of God in our lives. But it's in God's very nature to do these things. He says that he is also, as I said earlier, Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. It's just in his nature. You get close to God, you're going to be healed. You get what I'm saying? Okay, picking up what I'm throwing down? It's in God's nature. It's like he can't help himself. In the examples we have primarily here from the Gospels, again, this healing happens, by the way, with just a touch or a word. It's not some big worked up, you know, trumpet blowing wild presentation or something. Just a touch or a word brings healing when it comes from God. What did Jesus do when Lazarus was raised from the dead? He spoke. Lazarus, come out. Out he came. What did Jesus do to heal the paralyzed man? Again, he spoke. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Move. By the way, Lazarus, what are you supposed to do, Lazarus? Move. What are you supposed to do, paralyzed man? Move. The blind man, since birth, he put mud in the man's eyes, so he touched him, and then he spoke again the words, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. Blind man, what are you supposed to do? Move! Move. It's amazing when you start looking at it. Move. Now the father's son, he just spoke the words again, go, your son will live. But again, what did the father do of the son? He moved. He moved from wherever he was, and he moved towards Jesus. The man with the shriveled hand, again, he spoke. And what did he say? Stretch out your hand. Move. Do something. Move. When these hurting people came into the presence of the Almighty, they were just a word or a touch away from being completely healed. Just a word or a touch away, all they needed to do was move. Move into the presence of God. Move towards God in some way or another, or to move in obedience to God, something that Jesus had told them to do. Move. Just one word, one touch. The third thing I want to just highlight here today is that God honors movement. God honors movement. In fact, I kind of was thinking this, like, movement is kind of a nice way of a nicer word for obedience. See, I didn't get any amens there. Because we don't like the word obedience, right? We don't like the word obedience. So that's why we're saying, okay, forget I said obedience. Move! Move! But it's just a nice way of saying obedience. Do what God says. God honors obedience. And movement is motivated by faith. We move towards God because we believe that God will do something. That's why we move towards God. We believe that God will do something when we move towards God. Hallelujah. God honors faith. I think faith and obedience are powerful motivations to move. Probably faith, obedience, and I'm going to throw in another one, desperation. Just came to my mind. I mean, desperation gets us to move. Well, I know for me, desperation came first. I was desperate, and I moved. I went out of my comfort zone completely and walked into an Assembly of God church and watched people with hands lifted up and tears streaming down their eyes and going, what in the world's going on here? And I moved, though, and God met me there and changed my life. Then came faith, then came obedience, and God's been needing to heal and work on me ever since and still is to this day. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. Why? Because Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus telling of his illness. They moved. They sent word. They knew that Jesus could heal him. Even after Lazarus died, Martha said to Jesus, but I know that even now, so she expressed her disappointment because she was like, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, God will give you whatever you asked. They moved towards Jesus, and Jesus did a miracle. Again, the man with the shriveled hand. What if he didn't stretch out his hand when Jesus told him to? I don't know. What if the blind man refused to go wash in the pool of Siloam? What if the two paralyzed men refused to attempt to get up? What if the father hadn't sought out Jesus to heal his son? These are all people that moved. I really believe that God honors movement. God honors movement. So I want to just kind of start wrapping this up. Don't get too excited. It's a long conclusion. So I want to just wrap it up with a Bible story that shows a woman who is willing to move from hurting to healing. It's the one that Anya read just a few moments ago. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. So this woman had been constantly bleeding for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. If I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around to the crowd. Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing on you. How can you say, who touched me? So there's a lot of people, obviously, here crowding around him. He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. We're going to talk about why she was in fear and trembling in just a moment. She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And his response is, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Wow. It's amazing to me, this woman whose story is told, and I think in three of the Gospels, is not even given a name. And yet we read about her. We honor her faith. Amazing. Because there's a number of things going on here that I want to draw out. But she knew, first of all, that she could be healed by a touch. Although she probably, I don't know if she fully realized who she was touching. I don't know if she really knew that this was Jehovah Rapha come in the flesh. But she knew something. She knew that if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. And finally, I wanted to say she was determined to move from a place of hurting where she had been bleeding for 12 years to being healed. And this is the thing. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say it again. I think I've already said it once. Sometimes we live in our misery, but we're unwilling to move. In fact, I've actually given this illustration many times before, but it's been long enough. I'll do it again. You know what the most difficult place is between hurting and healed? It's the space in between. Because when you're moving out of this box of hurting, when you're moving out of this place that you've known and lived in for a long time, and you say, I'm going to move towards Jesus, and what happens is you get out of the hurting box, which you're actually very familiar with. You understand that box. You understand those addictions. You live in them. And even though you're miserable, you're saying, I'm going to step out. So you start stepping out. And as you do that, and I'll give this example here with the woman, what happened to her? She had to press through a crowd. And I'm still going to come back to this. How do you think she felt when she started and stepped away from the familiar? Let me make this clear. She is unclean, number one. In that culture, she is bleeding. That makes her unclean. She's been unclean and ostracized from community, from family for 12 years. But that's what she knew, right? So she took this huge risk because to press through that crowd, she had to touch other people, making them unclean. Not only that, she was unclean and she was going to touch, at the very least in her mind, a rabbi, a teacher, a miracle worker. You just don't do these things. So I can imagine the fear and trembling, you heard it, right? When she got called out. I'm getting called out. So all of us face this in our lives in some way. Let me get back to my two boxes. You are in this place of hurting, brokenness, wounding, pain. And you hear you hear about Jesus, which is what she heard here. She says she heard about Jesus. And she steps out of that hurting box. I'm unclean, but I need to touch Jesus. And we step out of that box. And we start moving, but there's this moment, many times, I see it happen over and over and over again in the lives of people. They start to come out of that place of hurting, but it's familiar. And they're journeying, but they haven't really experienced healing, and they get halfway there, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, and they look around and freak out. They look at that crowd. They look at those obstacles. They look at all the things that they have to change to get to a place of healing. And it's amazing to me how many people go back to the addiction, go back to the relationship, go back to the things that only bring pain and brokenness into their lives. But at least you know what that is. It's familiar. This whole God thing, that's unfamiliar, uncharted territory. This surrendering to, I can do religion, but surrendering to Jesus, moving, walking in obedience, that's a little freaky. Let me see, let me try. Ooh, no. I agree. This woman pressed through all of that. All the obstacles, all the things that told her she could not be healed. She pressed through it all, touched Jesus. And what is Jesus' response? You made me unclean. No, he didn't say that. That's not what he said. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, how about you? Are you prepared to move from a place of hurting to healing? Emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, with issues of addiction, lifelong pain, habits, whatever? Or will you continue to make excuses like the crippled man by the pool of Bethesda? Listen to what this guy says. There was a man who'd been ill for 38 years. 38 years, to put it in more of our terms, 38 years this guy lived in his addiction. Now, he was actually physically lame. But 38 years, and he went to this pool. This pool was known, if the water stirred, that there was some kind of healing property there. If you get into the water, then you'd be healed. That's what this pool was all about. 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been there a long time. So this guy knew he was hurting, but he never got in the pool. And he even made excuses. Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, it's funny. He doesn't answer the question, really. Jesus says, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you for your excuses. I asked you, do you want to be well? This is what Jesus is asking you today. I believe this with all my heart. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? Well, then you know what Jesus said to this guy? Well, stand up then and walk. Stand up and walk. Up he goes, off he goes. In other words, Jesus said, don't just lie there. Move. Move. Wow. I'm getting goosebumps, and I'm the one preaching this message, you know? I'll just say it again. It's in the very nature of God to heal you. But to obtain that healing, we have to move in the direction of Jesus. And it's not just about our movement, because we could move, and if God chooses not to heal, you're not going to get healed, right? I'm just saying, I believe that so often we're not receiving our healing because we're not moving. We have to move in the direction of Jesus. And this is a key thing. We're moving in the direction of Jesus. We're not moving towards some formula. We're not moving towards a person other than the person of God through Christ. We need to be willing to move in the direction of Jesus and be willing to do what Jesus asks us to do. It's really that simple, I think. If you're hurting in any way, then it's time now to move. It's time to make something happen. Ask Jesus for healing, but be ready to take action as well. So today, there's two things I want to just invite you to do. Number one, I invite you to take that card that you have. And the first thing you can do on the front side is write, from hurting healed. Just fill in the blanks. Hurting and healed. On the back side, and we're not going to ask you to turn these in, I would love for you to just write out your cry to the Lord. What is in you that is causing you pain? What has happened in your life that's hurting, that's bringing this hurt into your life? And what are you asking God to do? I want to be healed. The second thing I'm going to do is invite you, and I'll put my mask on, but I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer. Now, I want to say one thing. I do believe that God can do many things instantaneously. I've experienced in my own life, but I've also seen God move me progressively from a place of hurting to a place of healing. So I want to be really careful. I don't know how God wants to move in your life today. It's not for me to say. You may come up here, and again, I could give testimony after testimony, not from my own life but from others, that just that movement, and just like we read about in the gospel, something just happens and great healing came. It may just be another step in the journey. You kind of with me? So I don't want to discount God's, I'll call it progressive movement in our lives. But as they're just playing this next song, I'm going to pray first, but then I just invite you, and I can pray with you. You can just come to the altar. But what am I asking you to do? Move. Movement of some kind. Father, I pray, I ask you in Jesus' name. Lord, this is not about coming up and getting prayer from me because I can't heal anybody. But if that's what it takes for us to move towards you, God, if this is the move that we need to make, then I just pray that you would just help us to do that. And Lord, but even if that doesn't happen, Lord, I just pray that these words, this idea of movement would resonate, God, in our hearts. And Lord, maybe the movement isn't to come up here for prayer. Maybe there's something else you're saying to us, Lord, something else you're speaking to our hearts. And we know that we need to move in that direction so that we can find our healing. I don't know, I feel like maybe for some, even today, I just feel in my heart that some of you, that movement is to pick up the phone and to make a phone call to somebody. Somebody maybe that you need to have a real good conversation with that will bring healing both to you and maybe to them. Might be asking for someone's forgiveness, or so that could be a form of movement. It may be movement towards someone that you know can help you, a godly counselor that can help you process through some stuff in your life. But there needs to be movement. My encouragement is, don't keep sitting by the pool. You're so close. When you're in church, you're so close. I feel like when you're sitting here, you're like those who are by the pool. And when the water's stirred, don't just keep, again, metaphorically, don't just keep sitting there. When the water's stirred, move. Move towards whatever it is that God is saying to you. And don't just get up and go home and forget about everything. So that's my encouragement for you today. And I just trust now, again, whatever God is saying to you, I'll be here. If you want prayer, I think Carol's going to come forward. She'll pray with some of you. And let's just see what God does. Let's just see what the Lord does today.